to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Good afternoon. Wednesday afternoon. Almost the end of September. We are almost here. The end of September is upon us here. We are headed into October here very quickly. Very quickly. Oops. Oh, I know where I put that. Where did I put that? Let me find that. Hold on. So, I hope you're all doing well out there. I'm going to click on this. Hang on a second. I can do two things at once, I think. Possibly. Maybe. Here we go. From the office of, if you open it up, it's going to ooze, but if you don't open it up, it won't get no better. It'll just stay bitter. And if it don't get bitter, it'll stay battered. I don't know, whatever. Something like that. Bitter, battered, bitter, something. And here, brought to you by Coca-Cola Company. TD Jakes. The effeminate sodomite, in my opinion, fruity man that pretended to be for real manhood. Here, you're going to hear him say in this video, he is passing the torch on to a woman. Now, let me help you with something here. I titled this specifically for a reason, because I believe it. Female preachers are witches. That's what they are. Now, to all of you who may be offended by that, I say, good. And to all the women out there that are very upset about that, I say, great. Like Tony the Tiger, great. I'm okay with that. I'm actually really okay with that. See, I don't apologize for the way God designed things. I don't apologize for real manhood. I don't apologize for God's order. I'm not about to apologize for God for making things the way that he did. And you shouldn't either. You shouldn't either. So, the title is very specific for a reason. I see pulpits today, ministries today, full of a bunch of female preachers, full of witches, mystics in ministry. They're following their heart. They're following the gaseous bubbles that are in their stomach as premonitions from God. They're following devils. They're not following God. So TD here is going to take his ketchup bottle out, and or his hand sanitizer bottle, one of the two. And he's going to anoint his daughter and women in general to rise up above men. To rise up above men. Now, you're going to listen to this. When you hear this, this is what he's saying. And how did he get Coke to sponsor it? Well, I know one thing. Coke wouldn't sponsor me, would they? I don't think Coke would sponsor Bible-believing preachers. But Protestant Pentecostal pimps, they will. Because T.D. Jakes is nothing but a pimp. Right? So, Here we go. Are you ready? You ready to make friends and influence people?
I want you to kneel on this altar.
By the way, this is the same guy that restored another guy that cheated on his wife, bought her a Lamborghini, right? Remember this guy? Let me just remind you. A Trinity denier, by the way. Denies the Trinity. Here we go.
If we open it up, it's going to ooze. And if we open it up, it's going to leak. And if we open it up, it's going to smell. And we open it up, it's going to hurt. But if we don't open it up, if we don't open it up, it won't get better.
I mean, is he talking about the trash can or what is he talking about? Is it a zit he's talking about? Is it a boil? What is this guy talking about? I love it.
It's going to smell and we open it up. It's going to ooze and if we open it up, it's going to leak. And if we open it up, it's going to smell and we open it up. It's going to hurt. But if we don't open it up, if we don't open it up, it won't get better.
It won't.
It won't get better. It'll just stay bitter.
It'll stay
and
bitter.
If it stays bitter, it won't get better. It'll stay bitter. It'll stay bitter and resentful and angry because nobody told you.
You couldn't cheat on your wife and then buy her a Lamborghini and it was cool. You couldn't do that. No one told. Of all the nerve of people not to tell you, you can't be a silly slut. I mean, what in the world? You can't run around and sleep with any woman you want to? No. Why did they tell you that? Mean people should have told you that. You'd think you would have found that in the Bible, maybe, but no, probably not.
It was going to be like this, and I don't even want to open this up in public because I know how deep it is. But the Lord, while the anointing is passing by, there's too much anointing in this room to minister to.
Too much anointing in this room, I'm telling you. There's too much. It's like Hulkamania. Remember that? It's like Hulkamania. There's just too much. It was like the Ultimate Warrior when he said he sat on his throne and he saw that no one was there to challenge him except Sid Vicious, so that he came down off his throne. I'm telling you, everything that everything in the Pentecostal movement is like the WWE. It's seriously like the WWF. Everything in the Pentecostal movement reminds me of wrestling when I was a kid. I'm just looking for the guy to come off the top rope, smack him in the head. And he does that because he anoints him and he smacks him. So he does that. It's great.
Everybody else and leave you sitting over there festering and festering and festering.
All right, let's take a poll. Who thinks he's talking about a zit? Who that's listening to this actually thinks he's talking about a zit? I do. I think he's talking about a zit. He goes, I can't leave you festering over there. Is he calling that guy a spiritual zit? Is that guy's gift that when he gets popped, he just blows up all over everybody?
And festering, especially, you said it in a joking way, but especially when the spirit of suicide hangs around your house.
Okay, so by the way, I want to remind you something. This charlatan, this devil-possessed man in red, this wizard, he tried, because this man cheated on his wife numerous times, bought her a Lamborghini or some fancy car with the church's money. And got caught. Because of that, okay, he made up this suicide thing psychologically so people could feel sorry for him, right? Right? And overlook his sin. That's what he was doing here. That's what that was all about. That's what, that's a devil.
Trying to get you back.
Boom, he popped it right there. Popped it right there. Grabbed that guy's head and he popped it right there. That's what he did right there. Let's see that again in action. The last time he said that, he popped it. Are you ready?
Trying to get you back.
Okay, he grabs it. He's trying to pop it right there. He's got big hands. He's going to squeeze it. Watch, he's going to keep squeezing it. This guy over here is nervous about it. This guy's wondering if it's going to get on him. The guy behind him's like, I'm good. It's not going to fly my way. Watch. He called it out right there. He called out the demon of suicide that was inside that man in the form of a big fat zit. He called it out right there. Okay, that's what he did right there. Booker Boots goes by.
Holy God, hallelujah, holy God, hallelujah, holy God, glory to your name. Hallelujah, glory.
Hear the mantra. These people are such, this is American Christianity. That guy's like moaning in the back. I don't know what he's doing. Sounds like somebody kicked him in the guts. It's supposed to be singing.
You don't get to run. You don't get to hide. You don't get to quit. You don't get to faint. You don't get to do any of that. Because it's not a stage that you prayed for. It's not a building that you prayed for. It's not an opportunity that you prayed for.
Right.
You've always wanted God to make a man out of you.
It was money you prayed for. Oh, wait, no, that was a Lamborghini you prayed for. Oh, no, what was it exactly you prayed for?
To make a man out of you. He's using the building to make a man out of you. He's using the opportunity to make a man out of you. Standing back up on his feet. Put him
Let me hit
up
him again. I'm going to pop that thing again in case there's something else in there.
You're gifted. You're anointed. You've always been gifted because you've been broken. You've always been gifted.
He ain't broken. He just slept with some woman and gave his wife a Lamborghini and was hiding it from his church. He ain't broken.
Because you've been broken. You've always been gifted because you've been...
Because you've been broken.
And you know how to flow.
Well, that he does do. Listen. He does know how to flow. All right? Let's just give him that. That's about all you can give him.
And you know how to bless everybody. And everybody got your gift, but nobody got you.
And who exactly is Chu? That's what I want to know. Nobody got Chu. Well... Who's Chu? Do you want to know who Chu is? Is that his nickname? Nobody got Chu? Is that his nickname? This is why charismatics can't stand me. Sometimes it's been a long time since I've had a lot of fun with charismatics. This is why I never have any friends. This is why nobody invites me anywhere. Oh, this is why. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. excuse me. Okay. Oh.
Nobody got you.
They got your gift, but they never got you. Yeah, like that should be at the bottom of the box. if you're going to get a gift, like inside of it, it should be chew.
They never got you, and God is touching you. He's using it to touch you. He's going to make a man.
Okay. So, from the man that brought you, you forgot about you, T.D. Jakes, the spirit of suicide out of the Lamborghini pastor, then comes the transgender-dressed, the tranny-dress actor that comes up and anoints T.D.
Would you come tell what the Lord told you?
God bless you. It's caught me a little off guard, Bishop. Three or four days ago, I called. I was at Manpower. And being blessed, wrote my check out. I said, you know, I didn't have my checkbook when I got to Pastor White's. When I got to woman that I lost the night before, and Pastor White said, you know, write a check for $113,000 for those of you who can. Write a check for $113 for Psalms 113. And I wrote a check for $113,000. And I admit, my intention was to just leave the check and bless God. Because, see, I love to give.
And I love to tell you how much I love to give.
I've been a giver all my life. And when people have given to you, and sown into you, and God has touched them and given you favor. Because see, when you have favor with, come on, somebody.
Remember, he's an actor and he's really good at it.
See, they don't understand it where I come from. They don't understand it in Hollywood, but I'm going to tell you something about the blood of Jesus.
Oh, the music just hit right at the right time. Look at all the women dancing in the seats. Like the guy is like some deep spiritual person that they're getting like deep spiritual understanding. It's such garbage.
All of my life, you know, my mother, she didn't have much to give me. She didn't have millions of dollars. She didn't have some legacy, but she had Jesus. And she taught me about that God. So I didn't even know that he was trying to build this youth center. I didn't even know it, but I know how important the youth are. So we were sitting in the service, and I leaned up toward him, and I said, I've just been touched to give $1 million. So as...
Oh! Oh, do you see her dance? Look at her.
So when you got up here and you said $1 million, I said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know I heard your voice.
Whoa, what happened? Whoa, what happened? He just shalomalled it right there. Did you hear that? He just did. He just went off there just like, yeah. Look at that lady dancing over that money.
I'm going to tell you right now, when you hear the voice of God, you move. Don't worry about what nobody says to you. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about your enemy. Don't worry about your hater. He will bless you. He will lift you. He will give. Sometimes you spend too much time worried about your haters. You spend too much time worried about people talking about you. But what you need to understand is that the Bible says in order for you to be blessed, your haters have to be present. How do I know that? The book of Psalms says he prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So in order for me to eat, they have to be present. So God bless you, Bishop. I pray right now that you will continue to do everything you're doing. I pray his anointing will stay upon you. I pray the power of God all over you. I pray his favor. I pray the blood of Jesus will come upon you right now. Keep you in his care. God, I thank you for your blessings.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Screech attack. Here it comes.
Come on, somebody give God some praise.
Oh, no.
He's pushing.
Oh, he's pushing.
That baby out. Come on, he's pushing that baby out.
Oh, help him, will you? He's in trouble. He ain't supposed to have a baby there.
Somebody holler, push! Push! Now come on in, please!
Okay. All right. So. I didn't know TD had a baby in there. I just thought he ate a lot of food. I didn't know there was a baby in there. Okay. All right. So, from the man that brought you the anointing of Tyler Perry, or Tyler Perry anointing him, to the man that anointed the man that gave a Lamborghini to his wife after he cheated on her, now comes his anointing to his daughter.
For it is not by might, nor.
Do you like the music where it gets all like it's all dark on the inside? It's all dark. It's really dark.
I want you to kneel on this altar. For it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It is not by DNA. It is not by birth order. It is not by favoritism or nepotism. If I did not know that the hand of the Lord was on you, I would never do this. As Samuel's horn of oil anointed David, I so anoint you. And with every drop of oil that falls upon your head, may the strength and the power of the Almighty God rest upon you. Rest upon your life. Rest upon your life. Rest upon your life. I want every woman in this room to lift up your hands.
Yeah. This is a woman's meeting where basically he's coming over here. It's a feminist. This guy has that spirit of Jezebel all over him, that effeminate spirit all over him. Listen to me. The scriptures teach very plainly what rebellion is. And rebellion, it begets witchcraft. That's what happens. If you're going to go ahead, by the way, if you start down a road wrong in rebellion, the outcome is going to be bad. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected thee from being king. God rejected Saul because Saul rejected the word of the Lord. These people reject the word of the Lord. Everything they do is rebellion and witchcraft. It's all deceit. It's all witchcraft. It's all vile. It's all rebellion. They practice deception. It's what they do. Let me mark it down for you. Every female leader of churches, every one of them is rebellious to God and is practicing witchcraft. That's what they do. Because they deny the order of God and they do what they want. They reject the word of the Lord. And if you follow them and listen to them and follow their teachings, you will do the same thing. They will teach you. They will seduce you and teach you error.
And receive the anointing of God. Because when you leave this place, I expect you to do exploits. I expect you to be an overcomer. I expect you to go forth and be whoever God created you to be. I want every man in this room to raise your hands. I know we haven't always had anybody to believe in us or support us or dream with us. And we haven't always had people who weren't so selfish that they wouldn't step aside and give you an opportunity. But I declare a new season in your life. I declare a new moment in your life. This is an impartation that is bigger than her. It includes you. It is time for every woman in this room to evolve into your destiny. Lift your hands and open your mouth and receive the anointing of God as it overshadows you.
Do you hear what those women are doing? They're lifting up their voices. They're calling out that, woman, thou art loosed. From what? From what is she loose from? Her responsibilities. Where God placed her. That's what he's saying. That's what he's illustrating here. She's loosed from being what her husband wants her to be, or she should be. Right? She's loosed from her role as a God-fearing wife and mother, as a submissive lady to her husband or to her father. She's loosed from that. That's what he's saying. It's the same thing that Eve was offered by Satan. Woman has a desire to be a goddess. That I'm telling you, fallen nature of woman desires to have her own way and to be led by her emotions. And whatever she feels,
it overshadows you. It overshadows you. It overshadows you. It overshadows you.
Sure it does. It overshadows you. Look at all the people there. Look at how many thousands of people are there in that place. Women that are there. And men that are supposed to step aside. Men are supposed to step aside and let these women do what they want to do. That's really what it is. Oh, you got to step aside. Right? You got to step aside and you got to be the man has to step aside and let the woman take charge. Isn't that what he's saying? Yeah. That is what he's saying. What is it? It's witchcraft. It's mystical witchcraft. And that, by the way, T.D. Jakes and his daughter aren't the only one practicing it. He's not the only one. Right? How about Beth Moore? Beth Moore's been practicing witchcraft in the Southern Baptist Convention for years. She's been practicing witchcraft for years there. For years. For years they've let her be in pulpits. They've let her preach. Now, let me help you out with something. I'm going to show you some scriptures here. Okay? First Timothy chapter 2. All right. The Bible talks about the difference in men and women. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. By the way, when you come to Old Paths Baptist Church, women don't lead in prayer. Women don't lead in music. Women don't lead in anything. Why? Because it's not God's way. You're a misogynist. Well, I don't care what you call me. It's not biblical. I will, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Women are to be modest. They're not to be flamboyant. Their outfits aren't to stand out so people can see everything. Your countenance should turn heads, not your dress or your body or your figure. It's your countenance. Should light up a room. A sweet spirit, kindness. Not boldness, brassiness, arrogance. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Bashfulness, excess of modesty, and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. What is this talking about? She'll be saved. Is it talking about her soul? No. It's talking about preservation in this life. That God preserves a woman in the role that he gave her. When she goes outside of that role into a man's role and act like a man in a man's world, then guess what? She's not preserved. Many times her life flounders. Many times her life gets worse. Many times her life is destructive. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Yeah, that reminds me. Pray for folks in Florida. Category 4 storm that hit there, the hurricane over there. And it's really bad. So you be in prayer for those folks over there. Continue to be in prayer for them as they're really going to get pounded here. Okay. Here's another second witness to it. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So right here, Paul is instructing. Paul is instructing that this is the word of God. This is what God's design was. This is what God said. This is the way that God intended it to be. This is the way God commanded it to be. So the question to ask yourself is, why would I trust any woman? Why would I trust any woman in spiritual matters and her decision-making process like that? Why would I trust that in leadership? Beth Moore joining Jamar Tisby for conference about racism in the white church. Well, it's no surprise. Beth Moore's been a witch for a very long time. For some time now, people who speak out in support of BLM, LGBTQ, CRT, and women's rights have been silenced, bullied, and laughed and labeled dramatic, un-American, and unchristlike. Well, I don't care about what you say as far as American goes. I just tell you what the Bible says. You're full of it. And what you're doing is making stuff up that's not even biblically accurate at all. Why is that? Because you're a witch. See, long before Beth Moore did that, American patriot. Okay, well, good. I'm glad. Why is Beth Moore like this? Before she ever really pushed this agenda, why is she like this? It's not just the charismatics. Of course, Beth Moore is a mystic and a charismatic. But let's look at the doctrines behind them. See, you're going to always hear these women talk about they feel God has called them. They feel this call. They feel this. They feel this leading. Right? They feel it, right? They have this feeling or they're led. They always say things like that, don't they? And when you, let me tell you something. When your doctrine has to leave the plain path of scriptural duty, your doctrine is false. When it doesn't line up consistently with the scriptures, your doctrine is false. Your belief, your feeling, whatever it is, it's a spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. There is absolutely zero. Zero. Reason for a woman to ever take a pulpit and to preach. Beth Moore, a Southern Baptist who is influential. By the way, you'll find that all these women are mystics. Whether they admit it or not, they're all mystics. Paula White, Beth Moore, T.D. Jakes' daughter, Joyce Meyer. They're all mystics. The Bible is not their rule of faith and practice. It's their feelings. It's the spirit that they have. They interpret the Bible by their feelings. Beth Moore, a Southern Baptist who is influential with a broad spectrum of evangelical women, is also on the contemplative bandwagon. This is from wayoflife.org, David Cloud stuff. Good stuff, by the way. She joined Richard Foster, Dallas Willard, and other contemporaries. This is Contemplatives on the Be Still DVD. Which is back, this was 10 years ago, 12 years ago. But it gives you an idea. Which was published in April of 2008 by Fox Home Entertainment. Shortly after it was released, she issued a retraction of sorts, but she soon retracted her retraction. In the DVD, there are countless enticements, references, and comments that clearly show its affinity with the contemplative spirituality. For instance, Richard Foster says that anyone can practice contemplative prayer and become a portable sanctuary for God. What is that? It's witchcraft. The underlying theme of the Be Still DVD is that we cannot truly know God or be intimate with Him without contemplative prayer and the state of silence that it produces. The purpose of the DVD, in essence, is not to instruct you in contemplative prayer, but rather to make you and your family hungry for it. On the DVD, Moore says, "If we are not still before God, we will never truly know the depths of the marrow of our bones that He is God. There's got to be a stillness, but it's not true that as believers we come to Him by grace. But is it not true that we come to Him by grace, boldly to His throne, and we call Him our friend? No, stillness. Right? No mantra, no breath prayer, no rituals. Our personal relationship with Him is based on His faithfulness and His love and His offer that we have access to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ, and not on the basis of entering an altered state of consciousness or state of bliss or ecstasy, as some call it." Remember, Beth Moore is the same one that's praying to the four directions. In her book, When Godly People Do Ungodly Things, Moore recommends contemplative Roman Catholic Brother Lawrence and Brennan Manning. Of Manning, she says that his contribution to our generation may be a gift without parallel. They're a bunch of New Agers. A bunch of New Age mystics. Now, one of the mystics that Beth Moore recommends that you listen to is Sue Monk Kidd. And we're going to talk about her, and we'll probably spend the bulk of the rest of the time really talking about her. And this God that she was led from Southern Baptist to a goddess worship. What happened? Well, the Bible wasn't her authority. As we read about this mystic and what she believed and what she held to, you'll better understand. You'll better understand exactly why these women go the way they do. And it's no different than the witch at Endor. It's no different. No different. Sue Monk Kidd is a very popular writer. Her first two novels, The Secret Life of Bees and The Mermaid Chair, have sold more than 6 million copies, and the first one is being produced as a movie. This was lit years ago. Kidd is quoted favorably by evangelicals such as David Jeremiah, Beth Moore, Richard Foster, Philip Yancey. You've heard of those names. See, a lot of times you don't hear the names of people like this. Like, who's Sue Monk Kidd? I don't know. But all these other people like Philip Yancey, Richard Foster, who's a big contemplative mystic, Beth Moore, they're all influenced. They're all influenced. And really, it doesn't matter. Call her John Doe, Jane Doe. It doesn't matter because they all follow the same protocol. They all do the same things. Yeah. Look at the people that are influenced, who she influences. See, a lot of times you need to look at the influencers, not the people's names. Oh, I don't know who that is. Yeah, but who have they influenced? Because that's how Jesuits work too. They influence a lot of people and you don't even know who they are. Most people never knew who De Smet was, the Jesuit in Middle America that was dealing with the Mormons, that was dealing with the JW. I think it was the JWs and the Mormons, possibly. Or it was the Mormons and the Indians and a bunch of others. He was the liaison, the Jesuit liaison, influencer. Yeah. Friends with William Tecumseh Sherman. That devil. So see, there's more going on than what you realize with these people. These influencers from behind. See, I'd never heard of them before. Probably not. But guess what? She sold 6 million books. Somebody's heard of her. She's quoted favorably by evangelicals like David Jeremiah. It is contemplative spirituality that changed kids' life. And her experience is a loud warning flirting with the Catholic mysticism. Now listen to me, friend. Let me explain something to you. When you start going down the road of Catholic mysticism, you won't come back. A lot of these people go down that road and they never come back. Because they get into this mystic. There's something mystical about the priestly robes, the mass. It's called satanic deception. That's what it is. Satanic deception. All right, Hannah, if you're listening, bring me a jacket up here, will you? It's getting a little cold. Or send one of the kids up. All right. We'll keep going here. She was raised in a Southern Baptist congregation in Southwest Georgia. Her grandfather and father were Baptist deacons. Her grandmother gave devotionals at the Women's Missionary Union, and her mother was a Sunday school teacher. Her husband was a minister who taught religion and a chaplain at a Baptist college. She was very involved in church, teaching Sunday school and attending services Sunday morning and evening and Wednesday. She described herself as the person who would have won a contest for least likely to become a feminist. Wait a minute, stop. So, you mean this feminist follows a satanic order? You mean she ends up being deceived, following her heart? Well, my house is warm, Teresa. My house is like 73 degrees. It's tight. But this building is not so tight. We don't have the other side of the wall up yet. We have to kind of button that up a little bit. And I could turn the heat on, but I'm kind of being cheap. I don't want to turn it on yet. So I just haven't yet. Because really, I could stay warm with a jacket. Anyway. Least likely to become a feminist. She was even inducted into a group of women called the Gracious Ladies, the criterion for which was that one needed to portray certain ideals of womanhood. which included being gracious and giving oneself unselfishly. Selfishly. Excuse me. Wow, you mean she actually had to be a lady? But for years, she had felt a spiritual emptiness and lack of contentment. Prayer was a fairly boring mental activity. Kids forward to Henry Nouwen with open hands, 2006. She said, I'd been struggling to come to terms with my life as a woman. In my culture, my marriage, my faith, my church, and deep inside myself. She called it the dance of the dissident daughter. The dance of the dissident daughter. She's a feminist. Well, in order to be a feminist, in order for you to be a feminist, you have to follow a spirit. All right, hang on a second. Brought me my Under Armour jacket. All right. Here we go. Now I'm going to be looking professional up here. There we go. There we go. Now we're good. Now we'll be warm. But for years, she felt a spiritual emptiness and lack of contentment. I'd been struggling to come to terms with my life as a woman. So then, does she turn to the Bible? Does she turn to the scriptures? No. She was 30 years old, had been married about 12 years, and had two children. Instead of learning how to fill that emptiness and uncertainty with a no-so salvation and a sweet walk with Christ in the Spirit and a deeper knowledge of the Bible, she began dabbling in Catholic mysticism. A Sunday school co-worker gave her a book by the Roman Catholic monk Thomas Merton. She should have known better than to study such a book and should have been warned by the brethren. But the new evangelical philosophy that controls the vast majority of the Southern Baptist churches created an atmosphere in which the reading of a Catholic monk's book by a Sunday school teacher was acceptable. Their thinking goes like this. Who are we to judge what other people read? And who is it to say that a Roman Catholic priest might not love the Lord? Kid began to practice Catholic forms of contemplative spirituality. Spiritual. And visit Catholic retreat centers and monasteries. Beginning in my early 30s, I'd become immersed in a journey that was rooted in contemplative spirituality. Translation, witchcraft. It was the spirituality of the church fathers, of the monks I'd come to know as I made regular retreats in the monasteries. The monks were not church fathers. They might be Roman Catholic fathers, but they're not church fathers. I thrived on solitude, routinely practicing silent meditation as taught by the monks Basil Pennington and Thomas Keating. For years, I'd studied Thomas Merton, John of the Cross, Augustine, Bernard, Bonaventure, Ignatius. Who's Ignatius? Ignatius Loyola, the dirty Jesuit, the founder of the Counter-Reformation. Eckhart, Luther. Luther was not a mystic. Taylor de Chardin, the cloud of unknowing, and others, the dance of the dissident daughter. Of Merton's autobiography, The Seven Story Mountain, which she read in 1978 for the first of many times, she says, my experience of reading it initiated me into my first real awareness of the interior life. Listen, my friend, if you're going to read a bunch of witchcraft books and not be grounded in the faith, and if you're looking for something in those books, the Bible wasn't enough for her. She was looking for something in those books. How can I get around the role that God has for me? Is there a way I can be a feminist? Is there a way I can be a man as a woman and still be religious and spiritual? Spiritual. Yeah, there is, but not a Christian. But you can do it. You could be a witch. Sure you can. And you could be spiritual. You could be a witch. That's what she became. By the way, I got news for you. You reject Jesus Christ, you're on the Antichrist team, and you're a witch. You have the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and your spirituality is going to be everything but the Bible. You're going to practice witchcraft. Anytime you want to be religious outside of the scriptures, it's witchcraft. I'm going to say it again to you. Anytime you want to be religious and spiritual outside of this, the authority of this book, the King James Bible, you are a witch. Amen. Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Scripture is all sufficient. You feel this emptiness, you feel this, you feel that, then you draw closer to Jesus Christ. The Bible. Look at this. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Right here. Right here. See it? How do I look? How do I get closer when I'm empty inside and I have this emptiness and this void and I'm not fulfilled? Draw closer to Christ. How do I do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It is God speaking to your soul. It is not the devil leading you. It is not God leading you to follow the devil's mystic way. Here it is. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life, that eternal life which is with the Father and was manifest unto us. And that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the Bible, friend. It's the word of the living God. That's how you draw closer. That's how you fill the longing of the soul. You don't meditate on darkness. You meditate on his word. Of Merton's autobiography, The Seven Story Mountain. By the way, this is a warning for women. It's a warning for all of us, but it's a warning for women. If you're not careful, your feelings are going to get you into a lot of trouble. Making an idol out of your feelings will get you into a lot of trouble. It's idolatry. My fulfillment in Christ comes from my obedience to Christ. I'm going to say that again to you. My fulfillment in Christ comes from my obedience to Christ. Whatever he commands in his word, I obey it and I fulfill. I do the will of God. I do the reveal. I do the will of God. I practice the will of God. The will of God is something we do. I obey him. And when I obey him, I am fulfilled. But I don't feel fulfilled. No one ever said you were supposed to feel fulfilled. You are supposed to be fulfilled. Not feel fulfilled. We do the will of God. We do not feel the will of God. I'm going to say that again. We do the will of God. We do not feel the will of God. We do it. We obey it. We follow him. We stick to the plain path of duty. We do not deviate. The scriptures are our light. They are the lamp unto our feet. They are the light unto our path. They are our guide in darkness. We walk with him. My experience of reading it initiated me into my very first real awareness of the interior life, igniting an impulse toward being. It caused something hidden at the core of me to flare up and become known. That's called devils. Spiritual. Of Merton's book, New Seeds of Contemplation, she says, it initiated me into the secrets of my true identity and woke in me an urge toward realness and impacted my spirituality and my writing to this day. My spirituality. You can't handle my spirituality because I'm spiritual. You're spiritual, right? So are a lot of devils. A lot of devils are spiritual. Witches are spiritual. And this lady ain't nothing but a witch. And woke me in my urge toward realness. That's not realness. It's witchcraft. Merton communicated intimately with and was deeply affected by Mary veneration. Okay. Mary veneration, Buddhism, Hinduism, Sufism. It's not surprising that his writings would create an appetite, said David Cloud, that could lead to goddess worship. That's where it goes. Feminism is goddess worship. It's worship of self. I don't want to serve a husband. I don't want to serve God. I don't want to serve my children. I don't want to be a servant. I don't want to be submissive. I will not have this man, Jesus Christ, to reign over me. I want to burn my bra and do whatever I want to do. That's what they want to do. What they've wanted to do since the 60s. And why is that? Goddess worship. They're witches. They reject God. I could do anything a man can do. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't be a father. You don't have seed like a man, so you can't. Just like a man can't have a baby. Right? God made us different for a reason. To complement one another. In the New Seeds of Contemplation, Merton made the following frightening statement that shows the great danger of Catholic mysticism. Listen to this. In the end, the contemplative suffers the anguish of realizing that he no longer knows what God is. He may or may not mercifully realize that. After all, this is a great gain because God is not a what, not a thing. This is precisely one of the essential characteristics of contemplative experience. It sees that there is no what that can be called God. Do you see how that's blasphemy? The Bible says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a father. God is the creator of all things. That's who God is. You know how you know God? Through Jesus Christ. Look at this. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath declared him, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to know God. If you want to know God, and by the way, let me remind you of something. Times of suffering are times for Christians to identify with the man Christ Jesus. When you suffer in this Christian life, go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Become intimately involved with your Savior. To know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You can enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. And that will draw you closer to him. That will make you trust him more. That will build you in your faith. Those times of suffering, God does not bring into your life by accident. He brings them in on purpose. That's why God brings them in. He brings them in purposely. They're not by accident. They're on purpose. What Catholic mysticism does is reject the Bible as the sole and sufficient and perfect revelation of God and tries to delve beyond the Bible, even beyond thought of any kind, and find God through mystical intuition. That's devils. In other words, it is a rejection of the God of the Bible. It says that God cannot be known by doctrine and cannot be described in words. He can only be experienced through mysticism. This is a blatant denial of the Bible's claim to be the very word of God. You and I find God in the scriptures. We draw closer to God in the Holy Scriptures. That's where we draw closer to God. That's how we draw closer to God. There is no other way. And anyone that tries to climb up some other way is a thief and a robber. And they open themselves up to demonic delusion. That's it. See, when these Catholic mystics and these women, when you agree to female pastors and female women in authority, when you agree to that, you open yourself up to devils. You open yourself up to demonic delusion. Why? Because you've purposely disobeyed God. You've purposely disobeyed the Lord. That's why. That's how it happens. When you are saying that the word of God is not enough, that's what you're doing. This opens the practitioner, says David Cloud, to demonic delusion. He is left with no perfect objective revelation of God, no divinely revealed authority by which he can test his mystical experiences and intuition. He is left with an idol of his own vain imagination and a doctrine of devils. See, if you can't base your experiences off of the Bible, then you have no, then your experiences become your authority. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? If you follow your heart, you'll be deceived. If you obey the scriptures, God will give light and understanding. Kidd's own first two books were on contemplative spirituality. The involvement in Catholic contemplative practices led her to the Mass and other sacramental associations. She said this, "I often went to Catholic Mass or Eucharist at the Episcopal Church, nourished by the symbol and power of this profound feeding ritual." There is an occultic power in the Mass that has influenced many who have approached it in its receptive, non-critical manner. You know, when you go, when you approve of the Mass, it's a demonic ritual. That's what the Mass is. It's sorcery and witchcraft, because you take the bread, the so-called bread being the body and the wine being the blood, and you pull it down and you transfer it. The priest actually, transubstantiation, he actually turns it into the blood of Jesus and turns it into the body of Jesus. That's witchcraft. It's taken from pagan practices all the way back to Babylon. That's what it is. It's pagan. Look at this. She learned dream analysis from a Jungian perspective and believed that her dreams were revelations. One reoccurring dream featured an old woman. Kidd concluded that this is the feminine self or the voice of the feminine soul, and she was encouraged in her feminist studies by these visitations. So she had these visitations. What do they all have? Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science, visitations and visions. Visitations and visions. Who's the other lady? The Seventh-day Adventist, Ellen G. Witch, or Ellen G. White, if you prefer. Same thing. Visions. All these other, Amy Simple McPherson. Right? Hey, Bill Schneblin said that him and his wife were sitting in a room one day and two angels came in and started talking to him. Sure. Sure they did. She spent much time with a friend who had a feminist mindset and was exploring feminist writings. And she began to read ever more radical feminists such as Elizabeth Schuessler Elaine Pagels, and Rosemary Radford Ruther, whoever they are. What does the Bible say about that? Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Right? Better be careful about that, friend. Careful about the books you read. The people that you allow to influence you, you be careful about that. Be very careful about the people that you allow to influence you and that you read from. She says, "I began to form what I called my feminist critique. She learned to see patriarchy as a wounder of women and feminine life." Oh. So the patriarchy is a wounder of women. So the Bible, which is patriarchal, the Bible and its design and God's way of creation is a wounder of women. She's saying that the God of the Bible is an abuser. That's what she's saying. So she created her own God. See, there are people, there are women that were treated ill by men and bad things happened to them and different things, like Beth Moore. People like that, and they come along and they become rebellious to God's order. They become rebellious to the husband and wife marriage found in the scriptures. They become rebellious to the teachings of the scriptures. And they want to be spiritual. Well, that's the same thing Eve did. She wants to dance in the footsteps of Eve. That's what she wants to do. She wants to dance in the footsteps of Eve. She doesn't want to be submissive to a man. She looked at the patriarchy and she found fault with it. She found fault with God. She found fault with the Bible. She determined to stop testing things and follow her heart. She rejected the biblical admonition to prove all things. She said, I would go through the gate with what Zen Buddhists call beginner's mind, the attitude of approaching something with a mind empty and free, ready for anything, open to everything. I would give myself permission to go wherever my quest took me. She is her own God. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. She rejected the doctrine that the Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice. In church one day, the pastor proclaimed this truth of the Bible being the sole authority, and she described the frightful thing that happened in her heart at that moment. I remember a feeling rising up from a place about 2 inches below my navel. Okay, stop. I want you to remember one thing. It never matters what I feel about a Bible doctrine. Feeling comes from my fallen senses. Let me say it to you again. It never matters what I feel about a Bible doctrine. Feelings come from my fallen nature. It matters if I believe the Bible doctrine. And whether I believe it or not, it is still true if it is in the scriptures, and it is true. She said, I remember a feeling rising up from a place about 2 inches below my navel. It was the purest inner knowing I had experienced. And it was shouting in me, no, 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 the Bible's not your authority. The ultimate authority of my life is not the Bible. It is not confined between the covers of a book. It is not something written by men and frozen in time. It is not from a source outside myself. My ultimate authority is the divine voice in my own soul, period. Right. So do you see what she did? She's admitting she rejected the word of the Lord. And God rejected her. Her ultimate authority is the divine voice in my own soul, she said. That day sitting in church, I believed the voice in my belly. I mean, I've had my stomach talk to me like growling, like it's kind of hungry, but I've never had it like actually like voice an opinion about a Bible doctrine. That's kind of weird. That's a little strange. Friend, if your stomach starts talking to you, tell it to shut up. Tell it to shut up. Oh, okay. Yes, her God is her belly. That's right. That day sitting in church, I believed the voice in me belly. The voice in my belly was the voice of the wise old woman. It was my female soul talking. And it had challenged the assumption that the Baptist church would get me where I needed to go. So, she admits that it's her own heart. And when that pastor said, the Bible is our sole authority of faith and practice. She couldn't handle that. That upset her greatly. Why? Because she wanted her own way. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods. She wanted to be her own God. By the way, feminism is that. Feminism is you wanting to be your own God. Lady, if you're out there, woman, if you're out there and you're listening, when you follow feminism, it's because you want to be your own God. You don't want any man ruling over you. Somebody said in the comment section, I went to an SDA church a few weeks ago and they seemed like nice people. That's great. The devil's nice sometimes too. She began to think that the Bible is wrong in its teaching. About women. And that women should not take the subordinate position described therein. She came to believe that Eve might have been a hero instead of a sinner. Man, you got to be possessed by a gang of devils. So what is she doing? All she's doing is rebelling against God. It all started because she followed her heart like a bad Disney movie. She followed her heart. That's what she did. She began to think that the Bible is wrong in the teaching about women and that women should not take the subordinate position described. Well, why not? I mean, there's no rules. If the Bible's not your authority, then you're right. And let me tell you something, church kid. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved by the grace of God, if you're not forgiven of your sins, if you haven't repented and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to grow up in our homes and you're going to grow up in a Christian home and you're going to turn on God and you're going to say, "Well, I can do what I want. I don't have to be my life doesn't have to be confined between the covers of a book." By the way, Miss Ann, it's not nice to disobey God. It's very evil. And it's not loving your brother. Herein we know we love God when we love God and keep his commandments. And we know we love the brethren when we love God and keep his commandments. But we don't have any love for our brothers if we're not willing to obey God. That Eve might have also been a hero instead of a sinner. That eating the forbidden fruit had actually opened Eve's eyes to her true self. Much like this lady did. She ate the forbidden fruit. She followed her own heart, her own reasoning, her own understanding. That's what feminism is. That's what it is. Kid came to the conclusion that the snake was not evil, but symbolized female wisdom, power, and regeneration. She was surprised and pleased to learn that the snake is depicted as the companion of ancient goddesses, concluding that this evidence that the Bible is wrong. Wait a minute. So the whole world, philosophy and Gnostics and pagans and false gods, they say the snake and the woman are friends, and you think that's a surprise? Lady, really, you're that dumb? You think that's a surprise? Wait, you think it's a surprise? Hey, you that are listening to me out there, you think it's a surprise that the whole world's against the Bible and preaches something different? Jesus said the whole world is Antichrist. He says the God of this world has blinded their minds. Duh! That the whole world speaks against the Bible. Of course the whole world speaks against the Bible. You think the Bible is the friend of God? Or, excuse me, not the Bible. You think the world is the friend of God? You think the world is the friend of the Bible? No, the world hates the Bible. The world hates Christ. It hates the Bible. It's no friend. No friend of God. All their stories are going to be antichrist. All their stories are going to be against God. All their stories are going to teach contrary to the scriptures. She determined that she was willing to lose her marriage if necessary. Yeah. I would not, could not forfeit my journey for my marriage or for the sake of religious acceptance or success as a Christian writer. I would keep moving in my own way to the strains of feminine music that sifted up inside me, not just moving but embracing the dance. I felt the crumbling of the old patriarchal foundation our marriage had rested upon in such hidden and subtle ways. Though both of us would always need to compromise, there was no more sacrificing myself, no more revolving around him, no more looking to him for validation, trying to be what I thought he needed me to be. My life, my time, my decisions became newly my own. Congratulations, you're a selfish witch. You don't care about anybody else but yourself. That's nothing new. That's nothing new. That you're selfish and you're a God hater. That your rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. In her case, her husband stayed with her and came to accept her feminist vision, even leaving his job in the Christian college and becoming a psychotherapist. But in many other cases, the feminist philosophy had destroyed the marriage. Right. Yep. This woman, what did she follow? Her heart. Whatever her soul lusted after, that's what she followed. That's what was important to her. She says, I've met women who in such circumstances have stayed and others who've left. Such choices are achingly difficult, but I've learned to respect whatever a woman feels she must do. Really? Is that how you live your life? What you feel you must do? Why? Because there's no absolute truth. It's whatever she feels. It is amazing how a person can come to the place where he or she is convinced that it is a righteous thing to renounce a solemn marriage vow that was made before God and man. Isn't that something? So she didn't care the commitment she made, the vows that she made. Nope. What is she going to do? Do what thou wilt, it shall be the whole of the law. She's a witch. She's just a witch. She followed her feelings. She rejected God as father. I knew right then and there that the patriarchal church was no longer working for me. The exclusive image of God as Heavenly Father wasn't working. God, this whole image of you being father, it's not working for me. Excuse me, you little pissant. Who in the world do you think you are? Who do you think you are to tell God who he is? Who in the world? She thinks she's a goddess. She thinks she's a goddess. That's who she thinks she is. You know, this whole thing here, this whole God being a father thing, it's not working for me. I think I'm going to change that to make it work for me. I knew right then and there that the patriarchal church was no longer working for me. The exclusive image of God as Heavenly Father wasn't working either. God being a father? Jesus being the Son of God? That's not working for me. I mean, I got to do something different here. The exclusive image of God as Heavenly Father wasn't working either. I needed a power of being that was also feminine. So then, what you're really saying is that you... Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. By the way, for this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Right? So she just changed. She just changed who God is. Well, I'm spiritual. I'll just make God a woman. She came to believe in the divinity of man. There's a bulb of truth buried in the human soul that's only God. The soul is more than something to win or save. It's the seat and repository of the inner divine, the God image, the truest part of us. She's a witch. By the way, this is who Beth Moore, this is who David Jeremiah, all these people quote this mystical witch. When we encounter another person, we should walk as if we were upon holy ground. We should respond as if God dwells there. She began to delve into the worship of an ancient goddess. She traveled with a group of women to Crete, where they met in a cave and sang prayers to the goddess Scotini. Goddess of the dark, she says. Something inside me was calling on the goddess of the dark, even though I didn't know her name. That would be devils. That would be devil possession. So Soon she was praying to Goddess Mother. I ran my finger around the rim of the circle on the page and prayed my first prayer to a divine feminine presence. She's praying to devils. I said, Mother God, I have nothing to hold me, no place to be, inside or out. I need to find a container of support, a space where my journey can unfold. She's praying to devils, doctrines of devils. She's praying to that false spirit, that Antichrist spirit. She came to the place where she believed that she is a goddess. So in other words, basically then she arrived at godhood. Well, what happened? Nothing new. It's in Genesis 3. And ye shall be as gods. Right? Divine feminine love came, wiping out all my puny ideas about love in one driving sweep. Today, I remember that event for the radiant mystery it was. How I felt myself embraced by Goddess. How I felt myself in touch with the deepest thing I am. It was the moment when, as a playwright and a poet, Notesake, Change put it, I found God in myself and I loved her. I loved her fiercely. To embrace Goddess is simply to discover the divine in yourself as powerfully and vividly feminine. I came to know myself as an embodiment of Goddess. Yep, full possession. When I woke, my thought was that I was finally being reunited with the snake in myself. Well, that's for sure. I agree. Hey, I agree. That lost and defiled symbol of feminine instinct. She came to believe in the New Age doctrine that God is in all things and is the sum total of all things, that God is the evolving universe and we are part of God. I thought maybe the divine one is like an old African woman carving creation out of one vast, beautiful piece of herself. She is making a universal totem spanning 15 billion years, an extension of her life and being, an evolutionary carving of sacred art containing humans, animals, plants, indeed, everything that is, and all that is joined, blended, and connected. Its destiny intertwined. In other words, the divine coinairs all that is. The coinair means to exist together, to be included in the same thing or substance. She built an altar in her study and populated it with statues of goddesses. Jesus, a black Madonna, and a mirror to reflect her own image. Over my altar in my study, I hung a lovely mirror, sculpted in the shape of a crescent moon. It reminded me to honor the divine feminine presence in my life, the wisdom in my own soul. She even believes that the world can be saved by the Divine Mother. I know of nothing needed more in the world just now than an image of divine present that affirms the importance of relationship, a Divine Mother, perhaps who draws all humanity into her lap and makes us into a global family. The dance of the dissident daughter ends with this words, with the words, she is in us. According to this book, Kid's daughter, too, has accepted goddess worship. So she taught her daughter how to do it, too. We conclude by reminding our readers that Sue Monk Kid is quoted favorably by evangelicals such as David Jeremiah, Beth Moore, Richard Foster, Philip Yancey. Kid's endorsement is printed in the back of Dallas Willard's book, The Spirit of Disciplines. She wrote the foreword to the 2006 edition of Henry Nouwen's With Open Hands and the introduction to Thomas Merton's New Seeds of Contemplation. Eugene Peterson, the author of the Message Bible, praises Kid's book, When the Heart Waits. He says, as I read her book, Kid became a companion. I love having her walk with me on my own journey. See, if you follow your heart and you leave the plain path of the scriptures for your feelings, for your emotions, and for everything else, you'll end up like that too. They're witches. And all these female pastors in pulpits, Beth Moore, T.D. Jakes' daughter, Paula White, Joyce Meyer, Amy Semple McPherson, all the Pentecostal women preachers, Ellen G. White of the SDA. Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. All of these people, all of these women, usurp the authority that God has given men and do their own thing. All of them do. Now, the warning for you as a lady, and I as a man even, but the warnings that we have, there's warnings in Scripture for us. What's one of those warnings? Well, one of those warnings is that you don't leave the plain path of duty, that you don't let your emotions, get you. You don't let your discontent get you to be disobedient to God. Not follow the plain path of duty. Look for something better. Look, the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe if I didn't have to be submissive to a husband or a father, or if I didn't have to be a submissive wife, if I didn't have to do the duties of a wife, if I didn't fulfill those responses, maybe I'd be happier. Well, here's where it leads. It leads to rebellion. You'll be preaching against the very Bible that you used to believe or claim to believe. You'll be doing that. You'll be preaching against the very Bible that you claim to believe. Better stick to the book. Better stick to the truth of the Scriptures. Better stick to what God says the role of a woman is, and not go outside of that role. Loving your husband. Right? Here it is right here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, the word of God is blasphemed by a bunch of witches in pulpits today. They're a bunch of witches. Don't let yourself disobey God and not fulfill the role that God has for you to be the lady, to raise children for the Lord, to love your husband, to be a blessing to him and strengthen him and encourage him. And to be a loving mother and to be home with your children and to be caring for your children. Don't be talked out of that. This woman, Sue Monk Kidd, she was talked out of it. She was talked out of it by Satan. She was tricked, just like Eve was. Ye shall be as gods. I mean, she read the Bible, grew up with the Bible, had it in her family, had it in her life, and somehow she missed the fact that the Bible says that, hey, Satan will trick you into you becoming a god, to you thinking that you could be a god. Like, he'll trick you. Satan will trick you and you'll think that you can become a god. You'll think that it's okay to disobey God. Right? Hang on, I got to get to my other Facebook page. Oh, no surprise there, right? We need a goddess consciousness to reveal Earth's holiness. Earth isn't holy. Earth is defiled. Mm-hmm. No surprise. She's a witch. And what happened? She started out, hey, look what Cindy Nelson warned about way back then. Man, Cindy, that was 10 years ago. Ashley Judd. Holy buckets, that lady is scary. So anyway, by the way, if you leave the plain path of duty, you could be deceived. If you think it's okay to disobey and rebel against God, you'll find out what happens. It won't be pretty. Serve the Lord. Be faithful to God. Follow Him. Don't have a desire to do something that God never equipped you to do or called you to do. It's no different. I'm telling you, I've seen it. It's no different. All of them have the same spirit. They all say they were called by a vision. All these women, they're called by a vision, a feeling. They had their feelings, all these other things. A spirit, a dream, a vision, all of it. It's always that way. They can't say the Bible says this, because God's word forbids them to that office of a bishop, forbids them to be preachers, and forbids them to be even career people when they have a father or a husband to take care of them. Sometimes women don't have anybody to take care of them. They got to take care of themselves. But when they do, they're to be home, caring for the family. And when you bust out of that role, it leaves the modesty that God has commanded. All right, everybody. Well, God bless you here. You pray for our ministry here and pray for the Lord to continue to bless us and to keep us. And pray if the Lord would maybe lead you to give to our ministry. Okay, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. You can Venmo us if you'd like. You can Apple Pay. You can use Coinbase, cryptocurrency. You can mail us something. Here's the address, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. If you'd like to do that. If not, pray for us. We can definitely use the prayers. Pray that God would use somebody else, right? That God would use somebody else to provide for the needs that we have. All right? Anyway, God bless you all. I got to get going here. I got church tonight in 3 hours. In 3 hours, I got to go preach back in the book of Acts. So we'll be preaching. We're getting through Acts chapter 28. And almost done with the book of Acts. So praise the Lord for that. We'll be back in there tonight and looking forward to it. All right, everybody. God bless you. You have a good night.